It's not about me. It's about you. And artists and poets, there are thousands, tens of thousands of them in our community. And when you talk about community, it has nothing to do with an individual named Walt. It has to do that you trusted Walt to help give some consciousness to your community. So it's not about me, it's about you. You had faith in me. You trusted me. And all of my life, I'm not going to cry, all of my life, it was always about you too. No, I don't say I don't have an ego. We know that. We know that. But it's about you. It's about every young artist, old artist, writer, poet, the consciousness of your community is what you're supporting tonight. Okay? And you will always support this. If I'm not around, you will still support it because I say you do that. You support your community. And I was on KBOO for 38 years, and I'm going to tell you something. I never was on KBOO for my ego, though I do have an ego. We know that. We're going to go back to that in a minute. But it was for to humanism. It was for artistry. It was for new voices. It was for my job was, even though I played my ego, I played it. I'm still playing it, actually. But, it was done to bring the artistic creative voices wherever they came from. I don't really care if they're insane. If a homeless, insane person has something to say, give them a minute or two to say it. Fine. Amen. They deserve it. Amen. We're talking preacher talk here. Let them say it. It was never an elitist thing. Barbara Lamorticello, my co-host on the Talking Earth, we brought people on who were, you know, academic. They were mucky mucks. But we also brought on people who just have the creative impulse to care and say something. Their words saved their lives. I know people who actually poetry probably saved their lives. Clap, clap. Poetry probably saved their lives, and they had a venue to say it in. And someone said, say it. Tell me. What do you need to tell? Tell me. Tell me your deepest, darkest secret, your most lovely moment in your life. That's what I've always felt. A poetry, the communication business, KBOO, community KBOO, is about. Say your deepest, darkest secret. Tell me that you know the end of the world is going to happen tomorrow. And you're worried about it. I want to hear you worry about it. And we're going to put it out there. So that's what I feel, all my life in community radio. But I also feel that I used to talk about hard-ons. No more. There's plenty to talk about hard-ons. I know. No more. Let's talk about vagina hard-ons.
Okay.
We're done with hard-ons. We're talking about vagina lines. Now, my objective, no, whatever is very good. You know, I mean, really, I remember one.
No name.
We can use her name. And I said to her, I did it. She said later on, that's not a very romantic way to talk about it. But at least I did it. But you know what's really happening is, Annie, where are you? Well, you come here, honey. You come here. Where are you? Come here. Come here. Why did you? Where is she? This is your house.
And Curtis.
Why did you do this? And where's Curtis?
Right there.
That guy.
Come here.
You live with that guy?
Yeah.
Curtis.
Jesus
Curtis.
Christ. A name like Curtis. I mean, what the hell? So why do we do
come
this?
On, Curtis.
Why do we do this, Curtis?
Curtis.
Why did we do this?
Because I
well, why?
Value
history.
We just learned,
I'm history.
We just learned.
Curtis,
I'm
not over yet.
Vagina's now, so he's herstory.
Herstory. No. Okay. What do you want to say? Are you walking? We're walking.
Well,
I'm late. I arrived late.
I am totally overwhelmed that so many people showed up and just to show
and they
support.
Care.
Yeah. And
yeah,
they
all
fucking
love
care.
Milton. He's like. What Curtis meant was that he's part of Portland's, he's like the cool part of Portland's beatnik poet.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
I have no money.
It's like,
I mean,
it's like,
I live in the lawn apartment.
Portland's like this really cool town because it's cool and it's weird and all that. But
yeah.
I've been gone for 20 years and I never forgot Walt, like reading at the Mediterranean, and we have shows at Mark Woolley and I love his art, and I have a piece in there that I'll sell or give back to you if you want. I mean, I don't know.
I
feel like it's like, I want to...
I'm like Bo Weevil. I don't have a home. Don't get me anything back.
Okay.
I don't need anything back.
But, like, I don't know. It's just like a... so many times people... Everybody has things that happen to them in their life, and
you don't like it.
And it's
you?
Usually
you don't like it.
It's usually something bad means that something good's around the corner. And so
really?
Yeah.
And so I think this
okay.
whole thing was just like a way to bring Walt into the public eye, like every as a whole community, like an article in
you
the paper. But it was like shocking, like a fire. So that was just like
shocking.
Oh my God, his writing. So that makes people feel like
they care.
That the writings could be gone, or you know, like, and so I've offered to type up all the wet papers, and I thought it would be like really educational. This
so anyhow, I came to listen to Walt because I wanted to listen to Walt.
Well, no, but
read me a goddamn poem.
I know. Don't panic. You want to touch that? You want to touch that?
And
I was painting this.
In your
the
age,
beach.
In your age, sometimes you talk too much. I think you should read some poems.
Oh, Bob. Now, Dylan, would you get the bass? Will that gentleman give you the bass?
Do you want me to get you like a...
No, I want him to. I want another drink. I want another drink.
Okay, do you want to stand or sit?
No, I want to pass this around. Don't keep
okay,
it.
Okay, let me get you
a drink. I was painting this when the place burned down. A 120-year-old church.
Wow. Fine.
Okay, I'll get you some.
It's called the Beast. Just move it around.
Beast.
Yeah, move it around.
I'll talk about the Walt Curtis Fund that Mark Woolley and David Mulholland have put together. And you know, the way I think it, in Japan, someone who contributes to the community over many years and is a creative, they make them national treasures.
Yeah.
And we got Walt, who was a treasurer of Portland. And
I was painting that
he was painting every day. It was a good situation that he was in the bookstore.
That's great.
But you know, this disaster happened, and some of us we got together and said let's try to get Walt in a good space so he can keep on writing, he can keep on doing
tell,
stuff.
Tell us.
So I'm not really an organizing person, but I am working on Walt's. We're trying to put together a collected Walt
no
reader, and we were doing this before the fire, and I have a beautiful box full of. This writing, you can't imagine, it's old writing from this is going as far as the 60s. I have Walt Curtis's first published poem from his high school newspaper.
You know?
Yeah. In this box, you know, plus some great essays on the origin of the name Oregon and historical essays on John Reed and Hazel Hall, plus articles on Portland culture in the 70s while hung around with Ken Kesey, read poetry with William Burroughs. So he documented this, and there's some beautiful writing.
So much stuff went down. Yeah. I lost a lot.
But we have.
We saved a lot.
We're working to put it together. We need to. We've got a potential manuscript of about 250,000 words, and we have to edit it. We have to edit it down.
You pass that around too.
Which takes time and
you
work.
Got fucked up.
But we presented to Oregon State University Press, and it's going to be coming out sooner than you know. And there's great stuff in there. Let's hear something.
Okay. Now, what happens when you have thousands of poems and thousands of pieces of paper? Just pass it around. Just let them look at it. That's what I collected. I'm a book person. I've been a book person for 30 years. And James, you're going to do something good. No, I'm going to do this. I had to reconstruct this in my brain. Now, what happened in the church, contrary to what people say, journalists don't know shit. But it's an evolving informational thing. You understand? So the sprinklers turned on. Now, the problem is they saved myself. A lot of it. It's wet, though. Now it's getting moldy. You understand? Do you ever see mold? You could use alcohol, and you have to rescue mold. I mean, that's it. But I did this for my brain. I did this 40 years ago, okay? And I've done a lot of fire poems, and it's a little scary to me that I would end up in a fire. The dream burns away. At the edge of the dream, there's a curl of smoke and flame. It's a love letter sent long ago. The lovers are lost in the phantom of time. Nothing remains except ashes and the rain. Now, you might think that's kind of a weak poem. Well, I did it back then. But you know what? As global warming, as everything is happening, I possibly intuited the end of the world. And I think it's happened. I think it's literally happened. But now, oh my God. Well, pass that around. I don't think I have the poem. Pass that around. Mississippi Mud. Who knows Mississippi Mud? Bob knows that. Bob knows that.
Is that Kerouac book something you've had for a long
that's
time?
That's a first edition, and you know, they're Nirvana. I think Nirvana got their title out of it. I think they did.
That is just outrageous. I've never seen that.
That's 50 years ago. They used to have little paperbacks like that. Yeah. And that's how Kerouac got started and everybody else. When you talk about... But you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. You're not going to like it. Do you think the establishment gives a fuck about me? No. I can't even get a goddamn poem in one of these little rags. Probably, you know. Is that shocking? I read thousands of fucking poems. They're not bad. You know, the poems in this book called Peckerneck Country, I don't think any of them was ever reprinted in a magazine. I mean, it's goofy to me. Goofy. Goofy. I don't get it. You know? So, Bob Phillips, what's your response to that? Give me a response.
Did you expect any better?
I said, what the fuck is the point?
Well, I just think it's always been that way.
It's always been that way?
Yeah.
Sure.
She should raise the bar.
I think they're fucking nuts. I don't think they know a goddamn thing about poetry. Okay. Well, let me try to entertain you for a moment here. I'm going to entertain you for a moment. Please? Who the fuck's it?
We're a chorus, actually.
They never would print this anywhere. It's a line from Lorca. La una era la otra, y las dos eran ninguna. So what does that mean? Okay. The one is the other, and the two are no one. How's that? You like that? When I fucked you, stars exploded in my brain. When I fucked you, the ocean tugged the shore, wave after wave slamming against us. when I fucked you, I tasted strange fruit like kiwi, guava, honeydew, protein fruit. The fragrance of your flesh is the odor of paradise. Only there is no paradise, just these few moments on earth. When I fucked you, this is as close as we ever get. Our bodies become the other, and the two together are a new person, a squirming, bucking Siamese twin trying to fuck itself. When I fucked you, I fucked myself. Star blasted.
I don't think I've ever heard the F word that often.
No one ever wrote a poem like that. Well, he was shot. So, like, oh, you're so here. Hi, Pat.
They're so wet. They're so full of, like, juice.
No. Well, Patrick, I know you. Okay, for all the girls, that's a Willie Nelson song. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I like Willie Nelson.
I'm not dreaming. I was wondering about that.
No, I met Marjorie in 1968 in Allen Ginsberg Reading downtown. And she said, oh, you're a poet. I said, well, you like me. You like what I read. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. We're still together, I guess, in some ways. We're still together, but fine. But what she did was she turned me on to feminism, hippie era stuff, that women, every male in this room had better be nice to his woman. Okay, or her. Yeah, fine. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. So she told me this happened. She liked dogs. A lot of women like dogs. I know why they like dogs, but I'm not going to go there. But okay. Woman in the woods. She told me this story. You know, I write, when people tell me stuff, I turn it into a poem. I know a woman who can piss standing up. She learned it after 30. And she dreams of showing every other woman in the world how to. Standing with legs spread apart. And why not? And that's all right. It is neat. She lives in a cabin in the woods by herself, surrounded by her dogs, always barking, getting stickers in their feet, or cutting their feet, licking the wounds, surrounded her for sympathy, cuddling up to her for sympathy, like purring cats, nodding their heads wisely. Moths circle her cabin in the woods, and the circle flies wider and wider, higher and higher. Only there's no one to show this feet, F-E-A-T, to. Feet, to. Not even me, except to the wide moon and the dewy, pointy grasses licking up the drops and the dregs. I wish the moths and the dogs should go away, and all the beautiful women in the world and all the so-called ugly would come to her and learn how to do this marvelous thing. And I'd be watching, hiding from the woods and chased away like the wounded dogs and the circling moths. And I'd be awed and admiring these wonderful women, but fine, standing up, pissing in a circle, legs spread apart, never having to squat again for the sake of men. All do you right. like it?
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good poem. That's a pretty good fucking poem.
It's something I prefer squatting.
Well, but you prefer squatting? You can learn how to piss standing up. You know? And this is a goofy one. I lived in Oregon City. I took care of my mother the last 10 years of life. I love her. We were on the Holcomb Trail. I'm a historian. Blah, 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 blah. But we had pear trees in the backyard. A guy had built a house in 1910, and he had Bing cherries. Bing was a Chinese man. They named the Bing cherry after a Chinaman. I don't know where I don't know where Bing is buried, but he's a beautiful man. They often take their bones back to China. Do you know that? Yeah, they take their bones back. So I'm picking pears in the backyard. And, you know, I prune trees. I've done pears. You know what you do? It's hard to pick. You have a thing you can pick one at a time. Or you can put in your back. But why don't you put a blanket on the ground and just toss it gently? You just, it's right. Boom. Right. Boom. So this is this poem. And it proves that I'm still a feminist, picking pears. I toss the pears on the quilt, cushioning the fall. That's a pun. You know that.
Toss those pears.
What an easy way to get them off the lifting limbs. Rather than handing them one by one to my invisible helper on the ground. Okay, just bing. Pendulous, bell-like fruit. Aren't fresh pears peerless, paired with a knife and put into a compote? It's a lot of peas. It's alliteration. My hands caress their cool green globe-like forms, green breast with a rosy flush, and wooden stems. Bright yellow and sweet in a week or so. Yellow jackets would gouge their fragrant skins if left upon the waxen tree, or they would fall with a thud and bruise themselves, seeking delicious, life-saving winter sap. The fierce bees become sadists, and mind, they'd sting mine if I didn't leave them alone with the leafy lady. Ever since reading the first pornographic novels, wherein women's breasts are compared to pears, I have imagined it the other way around. The woman in the wood bends forward her branches and whispers, "Pick me." My clumsy, eager fingers glom onto her, and boxes fill with bosomy beauty. Boxes of breasts, like hard green bells. Ding dong, I sing along as I pick pears, humming with the bees. Ding dong. Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's not a bad poem. I think it's a really good poem.
Well,
yes, Tarlin.
I have your other pear tree poem here if you want it.
You do?
The Madonna of the Pear Breast if you want it.
Well, I love you being there. I think we've done enough pairs. Let's do a gender poem. I'm sorry, you may not like this. Things I do alone when I am alone with myself. I lost you somewhere in a dream. You are there in real life. Then one night, you entered my dreams. I was wearing your red dress for the holiday, and you beckoned to me, smiling all the while as morning birds sing. I awake. You are gone. Did you keel over and die, taking your lipstick and your toothbrush? Why did you have to go away and do that? You don't tell anyone why you go away. I weep on the pillow. Then I fall to sleep dreaming. I'm making love with you, making impossible love with you. But each time you wave goodbye, the distance is farther. With a headache, I get up, walk over to your wardrobe, put on the real red dress you wore. Naked in it, I parade around the room a time or two, stop in front of the cracked mirror, feel embarrassment, whisk it off, afraid someone might catch us. Fold your dress, put it in a dusty drawer, dress in my own clothing, and step out into the daylight where I know we will never be seen together. That's love.
Wow.
That's fucking love. You, that's love, isn't it? We will never be seen together. That's it. You know, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Okay, I'll change the tone here. I'm not going to go into it. Where's James? Is the kid going to play a song? Now, this is the deal that I did. I had a Red Rambler. I had a Plymouth Valiant. I've had so many cars. And we're going to have to finish in three here because you're so attentive. You're so sweet. I love you all. I love you very much. I thank you very much. Now, I had this fucking Red Rambler. Orange, the paint was peeling, but it was bright purple, beautiful. And then I found a Valiant later on. It had the same paint job. I mean, that's America, you know, cars. You could go to a junkyard, you find that shit. Okay. So here's my Red Rambler. I drove it. This book came out in 1970, so let's do this. But what happened is the fucking letters started falling off the car. So it's Ambler, it's not Rambler, the R. No, it fucks with your brain. My Red Rambler called Ambler now. Ambler, not R. Rambler. Because it has a missing chrome letter R, and this is the story. Guzzling quarts of oil. Dense. Pitted with rust. The muffler dangling. I used to use a clothes hanger to put the muffler up. You can remember that. Color of burnt orange red. Steve's purple sock in the glove compartment. Fetish item. Yeah, I used to. Marjorie wanted to blow her nose on it. I gently restrained her. Ambler chugs in the rain. Spinner with three barbed hook like a single earring on a rainbow trout, flashing in air. Serenaded by meadowlarks, the white mountain looms above it, winding country roads past cattle nuzzling each other, horses nibbling green, a ranch of white turkeys gobbling. The car is a turkey. I pull over sunny day, plop on my back in a field of spring wheat, staring straight into the beautiful, I love you being here, staring straight in the infinite blue, buzzard cruising, shut my eyes. I will drive Red Rambler till the wheels drop off, till firemen chase it, hosing it, smoking so bad. The days of sheer reverie, down roads in the country. A beer bottle in my hand, bringing it to my thirsty lips, joint in the pocket, rock and roll, blazing on the radio with a rattling torn speaker. I know my car is magical. Anywhere I go, I will always be ecstatic, alone, driving a beautiful highway. Dumping my mystical load on the landscape. Sun through windshield. Ambler. Ambler is pure spirit. I knew that when a black mushroom grew on the back seat. Grass sprouting on the floorboards. Fluorescent green mossy branch on the dashboard from Dillon Falls on the Deschutes River. This car pretends to be a cloud, huffing and puffing magic carpet. This is the kicker right here. When I die, bury me in it, propped up to the black steering wheel. We shall go places others never dreamed of.
Yeah.
No, it's a great point. Yeah. That's a kick-ass. And then I'll. Okay.
Who knows?
I will. That, you know, do you ever love your car that much? Yeah. Fuck it. Let's get out of here.
What happened to that car anyway?
Oh, fuck. It blew up. No money. Now, you want to know reality?
No, wait, you're going to burn one of your cars or something like that.
No, that was later on. That was the second one. That's the Plymouth Valley. I'm not going to that
one. You didn't do that, did you?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
But it fucked up. That's the problem.
It was a classic.
You know, I wrote Red Rambler poems, and that's some of them are here. But do you want another one? Red Rambler?
Red Rambler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rambler.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to go with the other one. Keep going there, son. I love this song. Okay, this is it. No, this is the Red Lambert one. I'm going to do it fast. Rambler in the countryside. Just follow the theme. Rambler in the countryside. I love my car. A Mayday as soft as a green sponge. Past black and white cows. Knee-deep in spring grass, chewing contentedly on the chlorophyll and sunlight of life. The rain-washed air sparkling like a diamond. This landscape is immortal, lush as a tropical, paradisical garden. Eden, Oregon is one of the most beautiful places in the world, like Tahiti or the Hindu Kush. I am a ragtag carpetbagger Dalai Lama, locked inside a red rusting metal box with four black rubber wheels, skimming the spiritual blacktop Skyline Road, my favorite stopping spot, checkered green fields and darker woods stretching to the fur-clad hills and glorious sunlight-stabbed clouds above. The valley, waves of green, bay or inlet of vegetation awash, clouds palpable as pews and altar made molten by shafts of life, light as though a colorless cathedral window, no God above, only men below, bowing to natural mysteries, men hunched over their throbbing machines, tractors, scoring the sacred brown soil for crops of clover, alfalfa, and strawberries. The first mandala is the sun itself, warm and bright, blinding my eyes, dazzling the center of my forehead. If there is a third eye, possibly there are many dimensions hidden in the earthly mansion. A farmhouse, a white wood-framed building, red barn, tractor, geese in the yard, a barking dog. Each is a metaphysical motif. The stillness in the heart of the country, discounting bird song, distant jet roar, and wind fluttering leaves and grass, is the peace which will always come to pass on the pathway of a country road for automobile pilgrims straggled off the freeway, parked the car, pretend never to go back. It grows dusk. It's like Ken Kesey said guruly to that amateur poet writing about the country. Put some fiddle in it. You can take the rambler out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the rambler. Yellow mustard sprayed across the farmland, sewn by a skeletal hand. The stitch and embroidery of wildflowers, vetch, sweet pea, lupin, thistle, sweet colt's foot, over Cornelius Pass, through North Plains, toward Mountaindale, pink and passionate rhododendrons in mountain snow. I imagine each drive in the countryside is more revelatory than the last, until at last I want it known that this is the place where I have really been alive the most, driving around by myself, listening to meadowlarks and watching the magic of the world unfold like a rural lotus, resembling more the rain-drenched leaves of a common cabbage than the unplucked jeweled center of a religious flower cabbage.
Yes.
Yes. Did it.
Cabbage.
Yes.
In the rain.
Yes.
In Oregon. Woo! In the rain.
Yes.
Do you like it?
I like it. Hey, Walt.
I'll do one more.
Hey, Walt.
Don't stop now.
Stop.
Hey, Walt.
My nemesis is here.
What pisses you off right now? No, listen, man. You got the history. I want to know what charges you, what pisses you off right now.
Okay. I will pick. I raise my finger. I want to do one more poem, and you're going to keep playing. I fucking love you. I fucking love you.
Well, I like you.
Would you do one of your songs?
And
we'll end here. No, this is the deal. You know what pisses me off? I was born in 1941. I'll be 69 on July 4th. But it's also for Cancer the Crab, July 4th, so it's perfect. But this is the deal. Now, I really want to end. I want to end this really strongly. I'm going to do this. I will end it strongly. This is the deal. I want to tell you something. I am appalled. I am appalled that a young person like him, and maybe there's a girl over here, somebody, does not have a future on this fucking planet because these fucking assholes fucked it up. Now that's what appalls me. He asked me a question, I'm appalled. Do you know what? I feel so sad. I'm willing to go into my fucking grave. I have no fucking problem with that. Oblivion, I will take oblivion. But why do these beautiful next generation had to be fucked by these motherfucking idiots at BP and wherever the fuck they are? They're motherfuckers, and they are destroying the future of every young new generation. I love them. I want them to have a future. I'm talking like God. I am pissed off. You know, I can accept my death. Everybody dies. It's normal. You just do it. Fine. No big fucking problem. But to destroy the fucking world in this moment of history, and this is a scary moment, you know, they might fuck it up. So that's what I'm appalled. I say to the divine intelligence beyond the universe, goddess, Tao, God, blah, 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 whatever we want to call it, you better get your act together to save our fucking ass, because these fucking idiots.
Who asked them the question? Come on.
These fucking idiots are taking. What? Are you telling me this person is not important?
Read a poem, Walt.
He could live the next 50 years. The shit could gum down so bad, I won't be around. I'm not going to go.
I want to read a poem. Come on, read it.
I'm going to read a great poem. I'll read a great poem. I've done pretty well so far. I'm going to read a great poem. Do you know what? All of my life, I've been alone. I've been a homosexual. I've been alone. I've met a few nice young men who have given me some affection. They were nice about it. There was no problem. They were nice about it. But actually, I think I'm going to read this poem. You know what? They loved me. They fucking loved me. And actually, this young man here, I want to honor him. His name is Dylan. He helped me take a lot of my papers out. He put them in his warehouse. I mean, this person is really fucking cool. Would you give him a pat on the back? He fucking helped me, you know? He saved most of my shit. Now, we know it's rotting over there. Keep playing.
Most of it dried up.
You think it dried up? I love you, man.
You neglected a couple filing cabinets. It wasn't your writing. So
I won. Okay. Okay, I'll. We're almost done here.
Nice poem.
Want a nice poem? No, I want to read Taming of Pegasus. Who is Pegasus? That's a horse in poetry. I'll kick your ass. Finish it. No, you're gonna play a song though. And if James wants to read, I'm gonna conclude. Where's the devil box? Who took the devil? Who got the devil? Where's the devil?
Where's the devil box?
It's eBay. Where is it? That burned down the building. Where's the eBay? Where's the devil? No, I'm not letting you. Who got it?
Went in the house. Where's the paint? The beast. Where's the beast?
Where's the beast?
Replicating
beauty in a rabbit. Am I
right? Beware. The goblins will get you if you don't watch.
Greg's gonna go look for the beast.
I want the motherfucking beast because I'm gonna put it on eBay. I'm gonna put it on eBay. We're gonna end here. We have to end.
Greg found the beast. Yay.
I'm going to put that motherfucker on eBay and burn down the church. You want to go and touch it?
No.
You like it?
I like it.
You want to touch it?
Can I touch it? You mean the beast?
Yeah. You want to touch it?
Sounds like a reverse line, Walt.
Yeah.
You like
it? Sounds
like
a
come on.
You
want to touch the beast?
You want to touch my dick?
I knew that was a practice line.
That's why you wanted to mutate and replicate.
I had the poem, but I left.
This is being recorded.
That's right. Yeah. Posterity.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, your ass. I mean, big, posterity.
Big deal.
This is the best part.
I'm going to sell it on eBay.
That's it. You are?
Yeah.
Sell it.
You're
another lorcan. You want a lorcan?
Sexual lorcan.
Okay, I'm going to do this. Lorca poem. That's what you ask. When you do things, that's what it is. So
well,
start playing flamenco.
Well, I don't have copies of those. I want copies of those.
How do you do flamenco?
Do flamenco. Flamenco. You know, this is one of the most important statements ever made because I was a young faggot in Oregon City and I thought that I was literally in love with Jesus because he's the only person who would love me. And, you know, and I've written weird poems about that relationship. But I started a novel in which I talked about Jesus. And, you know, I don't want anyone to put down Jesus because Jesus is the archetype of your inner self. And that's why Jesus works. Krishna, Buddha, they probably have the same in Asia or whatever. They probably, it's the Carl Jung said it's the archetype of yourself. But you know how lonely it used to be in 1959? And I'm going to say this. I met him years later. I've read three times with him. I don't mind. But Allen Ginsberg said, hey, fuck you. I'm fucked. up the ass by the angel motorcycles, you know, riders of God, fuck you, angels, fuck me, up the ass. How's that? That's what Alan Ginsberg said. And you know what? He broke through. He single-handedly created gay liberation because no one ever talked like that, okay? They didn't talk like that. But Alan Ginsberg and Hal, he talked like that. Song of the Loon. A loon is a bird. Who's heard of a loon? Somebody heard of they talk about a loon. Can you do a loon? Can you do a loon? Do a loon! Oh God, that little girl is looking at me. Oh, that's, I wish I'd never talked like that.
Want to touch the beat?
You want to touch it? That little girl. Oh man, oh woman, you are alive. If I were a human being, you would love me. Live with me, you would. Since I am not, you won't. A bird man. I am a water spirit. Living beside a mountain lake. You can hear the sound of my flute on clear, endless evenings as the wind is a knife cuts the ripples of the lake. Ripples that flow like sparkles and flashes from a drowned man's eyes. Put out the night. Burn a smoky wood fire so sleet flakes fall wet and soggy on our house made of skin and bones. We fall in each other's limbs, weightless and shrill as the first crackle of autumn leaf, startled, stepped on in the dark, dim woods. A rotten stick snaps. Someone or something runs away in the circle of brush, crashing and falling down, and getting up again, running away like a frightened deer. If I follow, I don't think I'll be able to find you. Then where will I be lost? Better I wait by the lake. Even if you won't come, my spirit might return, meditating on lapping water. That's how life is. Who do you meditate on? Where do you go? You're hoping they will, the person that you love, will find you. But can they find you? You don't know, do you? I'm almost done. I'll do one more.
Okay, Curtis.
I'm done. One more.
Do you have
a
loyalty building turn?
No, I'm not going to do that one.
Oh. Why not?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it's nice.
Too naughty.
It's not nice.
Oh, it's naughty. Let's hear that one. You're good at those.
Oh, I know. I used to be a rather,
unnatural.
I don't.
I am your nemesis.
Yeah, you are my nemesis. Okay, I'm going to do this because...
Okay, what? What are you going to do?
Well, my father was dying of cancer in 1977.
All right. Do it.
I'm doing this for my father, okay? I'm doing it for my father. You want a strum? You know why? You couldn't shit.
Oh,
it's not you. Yeah, here. You can't shit. You can't shit.
You can't.
Well, what about the.
Well, that's.
But he did shit. You know, and so.
You're not dead yet, man.
I'm not dead fucking yet, but I'm getting close.
Now, bullshit.
Bullshit?
Oh, yeah, bullshit.
Out there.
Thank you, dude.
You're not fucking dead, and you're not fucking dead.
I'm not fucking dead. Okay.
Gary, grab it, bro.
Okay, let's end it with a funny one. We're going to skip this shit.
Don't be funny, man. Go ahead, be funny.
Are they playing grab ass over there?
Grab ass.
I don't know what the fuck males do. I don't know what the fuck they do. This is a very important poem to me because it actually happened. And, you know, he's from Alaska, so he knows. But we don't get snow in Oregon anymore, do we? No. So I'm driving drunk with George the Greek from Satyricon, and I've got a Laney in the car, and we're going up, and we go up this goddamn logging road, and it's snowing. It's white out. It's white out time. Everything is white. And, you know, it's kind of freaky, actually. But we parked up there, and we got out on the snowflakes, and everything is white. I hate white. It's fucking color white. But, so, and I'm looking about how white it is. Like, is that oblivion? Is that the end of the world? It's not black, it's white. You know? So anyway, this is it. This is the last poem. Snowy white woods. Logging road. Making animal catatonic noises. Okay. So what will happen up here is that I'll just go out in the white and I'll start shouting like a dog or something. Ah! Woo! Woo! You know, right. So that's what we did. So we go up there, and I'm thinking, I got to talk to the universe. Is that what you do? You talk to the universe. Now, everyone in this room, you talk to the universe. You say, why am I here? What's going on? I'm talking to you. Remember that. You talk to the universe, and the universe better reply. Okay. So. Maybe it will, or maybe it won't. You talk to the universe. Don't, yeah. Not the internet. Fuck.
The internet's your muse.
Yeah, the internet. Now wait, I want to finish this.
Yeah, all right.
Ken Kesey told me.
You're online.
Ken Kesey told me that there were forces struggling for the world.
Control.
That's right. But he said, we're going to win because we have compassion. They cannot defeat us, but there are forces out there struggling.
He said it was up above the toilet on the plaque. He said, we're going to fight and you're going to win.
That's right.
This is Nike.
Kesey said, like a comic book, he said, what did he say? Go ahead, Ken.
Wow, you're Ken.
Nike.
I
just do it.
No, you know, he was before just do it. How did he say? He said, I will. What did he say? He said, I will struggle. I will win because I am. Okay, I'm paraphrasing, it's bad. Superior force in the universe. I can't.
Superior force!
Humans, though, he said humans have compassion. That's why the robots will not take over. And we've been talking about robots. I don't even think about it. You don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, let's. A rhythmic shouting. In a snowy, partially logged over forest. In cold, bleak November night. Alpascapoose. and towards Vernonia. We drive up a graveled logging road, snowflakes falling, blurring, infinite, hypnotic in the beams of the headlights. We park the car, roll down the window, listening to the near silence, the slight rustle of snow falling on snow. Joke about a good place to murder someone, begin cawing, calling, listening to the echo of non-linguistic sounds. Quack, quack, hee hee, ah, ah, quack, bah, bah. The dog outside the car, nose to the snow, sniffing a deer, a bird. The barren, luminous, refreshing landscape made white, pure, and cold with dark trees. A sense of exhilaration mounting. I shout, Dada! Mama! Baby! Bye-bye! Over and over again. Dada! Mama, baby, bye-bye. The others laughing, George and Eleni. The falling snow in itself is exhilarating. Calling out into the dark and white, cold woods for an answer to the meaning of our lives, deaths, my parents, mine, the others, love, the answering echo. We get cold. I slowly drive down the logging road out to the other white highway. Snowflakes falling, blinding, blurring, warm in the car. Dada! Mama! Baby! Bye-bye! Bye-bye. Dada, mama, baby, bye-bye. That's the meaning of existence.
Right.
That's all you get. Nice to me. And you know what?
We're really lucky.
I deserve it.
You're here.
We got more than our $200 worth.
Hey, Walt, read the funny poem.
No more poems.
No, wait.
No, I Dada, mama, baby, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No,
bye-bye.
I'm
sorry.
No, there's no
problem. No, no,
problem.
It is.
No.
You know what I'm saying.
In life,
it's all.
Which part?
No.
No, it's over. Bye-bye.